Praise God. I'm excited about being back home. Amen. In Ketchikan. And we love you all so much. And there in Beaufort, Georgia, where Joy Christian Center is, everyone in our church knows you guys. Some of them, they know you by faces from the pictures that we have posted. They know you by our testimonies that we've shared about this place, that they have blessed us, that we could be here today. Amen. And we love you so much. And because of your love toward us, it's just been we feel this is our home. Amen. And we're looking forward to what God has to say today. Y'all met my wife. She is my heart, my soul. She's my brown sugar and my chocolate cake. Amen. She's everything. She's the one who brought me to the Lord. No, and Nancy said something about running for the Supreme Court Justice. I couldn't do that because if they got him for when he was a teenager, 36 years ago, you all didn't want to know me before Christ because I wasn't always the same man. I was a gang member, ran in a gang. I did crazy things. I did some stupid things, but God saved me. He sent a woman into my life who is my heart. She changed, helped the Lord change me. Oh, yeah, about me being a judge. Oh, my goodness. When my mother was in birth with me, she said that she saw me. I was a baby with my grown face. I had a black robe on, and I had a gavel in my hand, and I would slam it on the podium and say, "What's life? And what's death?" And she said the thing was swung out and was swung back, and I was slap it again, and it says, "What's life? What's death? And what's life?" And it was swung out. So I'm in my destiny. I'm in what God has called me to be. Amen. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Amen. There's nothing in this world that could ever change that. None of you are ready to walk out of here, right? Okay, I'm going to challenge you today, amen, about loving God. It is the first commandment and a great commandment. If I tell you that I love Obama and Hillary, are you ready to walk out of here? If I tell you I like Trump and Pence, are you ready to walk out of here? See, there's something going on in the church. And it is the first commandment. See, some of you have been ready to walk out of here. I don't know if you guys know Wellington Boone. He wrote, "God, Your Wife Is Not Your Mama," back in the 80s. Wrote this book. He's been on Promise Keepers. He's a well-known man of God. He has a church in the Atlanta area, and it's called My Father's House. He got up one Sunday during the election when Obama was running, and he began to share the things that he didn't believe that was right with him, and half of his church got up and walked out. You know, where is our love? We cannot allow our political persuasion, we cannot allow our race or anything change the Word of God. Amen. It has to be the most important thing in our lives. And see, if you were ready to get up, or if I shocked you when I said, "I like these people, I love these people," then something's wrong with your first commandment. It's not first in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, if you had some kind of inkling to walk out or saying, "I don't want to hear what he has to say now," then you need to really check if the first commandment's in your heart. See, we all are created with a longing to be wholehearted. Nothing satisfies the human spirit more than giving the deepest affection of our heart to God. And how do we do this? That's what we're going to talk about today. How do we do this? What does it look like to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? The Holy Spirit is calling the body of Christ to a deeper understanding of what it means to love the Lord. See, I believe in the church today that loving the Lord is in everybody's heart. We're overwhelmed, but is somewhere in the top 10. Matthew 22 clearly reveals to us God's greatest desire that we might respond to him with love. That's the desire of God, that we would respond to him in love. He longs for our lives to be given fully over to him, that he might empower us to live holy lives from the inside out. Many times it's from the outside in, but it's from the inside out. God wants us to live a holy life in our affections, in our thoughts, in our words. God's prepared for himself. He's preparing for himself a bride, a spotless bride, a bride that is without sin. Whew. Come on now. Y'all, see, a bride without sin. We all sin, right? But God wants a bride without sin. He wants a bride, he wants his son to be betrothed to a bride that looks just like his son. And God, if God wants a bride to look just like his son, do you think he would do something to help us? Amen? You think he, you know, he says, you know, be holy as I'm holy? Would he tell you to be holy if he would not make preparation for you to be holy? I have people say, well, I can't be holy. No one can be holy. If God says no one can be holy, then why are we doing this? God doesn't say that. He says, I want you to be holy. And so because he says that, we will be holy. Amen? And now I'm going to show you, amen, how to do that. We're going to talk about that. And it looks like my computer is messing up. All right. But hold on a minute. It seems to be all there this time. Amen. But God wants this bride, amen, to be like him. You know, God is not going to betroth us to an unequally yoked bride. He's not going to betroth his son to an unequally yoked bride. You know, we the Bible says we shall love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind, and Mark, it says, all of our strength. This is the first and the great commandment. Charles Spurgeon said in November the 8th, 1857, he said, this is the king of commandments. This is the emperor of the law. It must take precedence over all princely commands that God afterwards gave to men. All the Ten Commandments must be subject to this one. How many know that the law is good? Amen? I hear people say, we don't need the law anymore. It's the Old Testament. But I want to read something that David said. Now, David, I'm going to get on my little rabbit trail right now. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And David lived under the Levitical priesthood. He lived under the law, but he was a man after God's own heart. Now, when David was in the cave and Saul came in there, David took a piece of his robe. David had all right by the Levitical law to kill him. He had every right to kill him. And when Saul left out of there, he had this piece of his robe. He came under so much conviction. He called out to Saul and tried to ask Saul to forgive him. A man who was trying to kill him, but under the Levitical law, he had every right to kill him. David had a way to transcend time. He moved out of the old into the new. He moved into a place that I call eternity. Everyone that's born again moves out of the place that we're stuck in, a warped place here in time. But God is moving us to a place of eternity. How many of you are eternal beings? How many know this is not your home? How many know that we are supposed to build a home on the earth? And what is this called? The kingdom. That's what Jesus came to preach. But David was a king and a priest. He ate out of the showbread. He went into the temple and ate something that they said it was against the law. But David had transcendent time where God is saying, I'm building another priesthood. It's called a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a people that's been called forth to show forth the praises of God. And so here's what David wrote in Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Oh my goodness, I like this. The joy, the rejoicing of the heart, the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, even, I'm getting in another translation, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Amen? And guess who kept this? Jesus Christ. Amen? He kept the law. The law was never destroyed, but it was fulfilled. I said the law was never destroyed, but it was fulfilled. The thing that God destroyed was the curse of the law. Amen? Anyone who failed to do any of the laws was subject to death. But Jesus came and fulfilled them all, and all of us who believe in him and trust in him are also the ones that fulfill the law. And how do we fulfill that law? With one commandment, amen? The first commandment, to love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind, amen? This is the first and great commandment. Jesus said, it is the first, and it is the great, amen? My wife says she's not the first lady. She says she's the only lady, amen? And when we say this is the first law, the great law, it's the only law. Y'all hear me. If it's the first law, it is the only law, because all laws fall under this. Romans 7:12, therefore the law is holy, the commandments holy. Just and good. All these things are just and good. Jesus said if you would keep that law, then all the other laws would fall in place. So how many are trying to keep laws? How many are trying to obey and do these things? See, our problem is that we're not loving God. The call to love God with all your heart is the mission statement of the church. I could say it's the mission statement for the world. This statement in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38, is the mission statement for the church. Everything that we do, everything we attempt to do, everything that we the believers are functioning in and depending on, it's all tied up in this one statement that Jesus made. We have walked so far away from that. We are trying, thou shalt not kill. Amen? But Jesus came and said, if you hate your brother, you already committed murder. It's not talking about a physical stabbing or shooting someone in the head. You can commit murder just by your intent of your heart. God is coming. Why he's saying to love me, God is not after what you do. He's after your heart. Amen. Only thing that God has held back from him, God can do anything in the world that he wants. Only thing that he has not taken from us is our heart, because he wants us to give it to him without conditions. Amen. He wants my heart. He wants your heart. My whole destiny, my future, my family, my wife, my children, my church, everything. It depends on me loving God and teaching people to love God with all their heart. Am I making any sense? Come on now. Amen. This is good stuff. Hallelujah. Everything we do, attempt to do, or function in a belief that is functional in the believer's life has to hang on this mission statement. This is the mission statement of joy. Amen. We have a mission statement, but this is the mission statement. Amen. How are we going to reach the world if we cannot love God? How many ever got mad at God? Amen. How many of you stopped loving him when you got angry with him? None of you did. No. You know, my wife and I, every once in a while, we have these things we call intense fellowships. Now, I know some of you married couples don't have anything like that. But you know what? She says, I don't like you now, but I love you. I don't like you now, but I love you. You know, sometimes in our life, some things we don't like, but it never will stop us from loving the things that are dear to our heart. When we get angry at God and we don't like him right now, you better be careful that you don't fall out of love with him. Amen. You see, my wife and I, we've been married for 47 years. She's been my girlfriend for 48. Amen. In a few more months, we'll be married for 48 years. Amen. And we're just young whippersnappers. I'm probably older than most of you in here. I'm 72 years old. Bless your heart. I love you. You're doing well. Let me tell you something. Amen. It all is based on our love. We got to learn how to love again. The world is in the shape it's in because we don't love. It's not the world's problem. It is the church's problem. See, I begin to ask the Lord. I'm getting away from my notes. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going here. But see, I begin to ask the Lord when I begin to study this thing. I said, Lord, help me to love you with the same intensity that you love me. And I start praying it. About the third day that I prayed this, all of a sudden God began to show me my heart. Oh my goodness, when I thought I was doing well. He began to show me things in my own heart. And I began to pray this, and we have this thing in Georgia and Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina that we come together on Thursday, every Thursday of the month. Each one of us have a different Thursday during that month that we pray. At 11:59, we pray for our nation. And I've been praying this prayer, and God began to show me my heart, they gave me my topic that I was supposed to pray for. You're going to pray this time for the media. And I got excited. Oh, boy, I'm going to come on this fake media stuff. I'm going to break this media thing down. I'm going to come against this thing. And I'm saying this right there, and God spoke to me, said, who are you to point the finger? I said, what? He said, who are you? I'm right there in the prayer meeting, coming up next to pray. He said, who are you to point the finger? He says, you pray for my news media. It's my church that needs to repent. I told them the good news to take it to all the world. And they've been keeping it within themselves and said, here's your prayer, not against the world's media, but against my media that has not done what they're supposed to do. They have not loved like they were supposed to love. And I said, well, I can't pray that. But I did. I did. I prayed and I said, Lord, people might get offended with me. Because, you know, our political beliefs, our political stance sometimes moves us from the grace and the mercy that God gave us. God not only gave us grace, but he gave us mercy. Amen. And we got to give this nation, we got to give the people of this world mercy. Amen. Not judgment. Amen. And it begins with us in the house beginning to examine our own heart. Everything that happens in my life, I know God's after something in my heart. Amen? Who are you to point the finger? I'm your man. I'm going to pray this, man. I'm going to bring these things down. How many have done that? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. But see, God, how many of you are glad that Jesus didn't pray that way for us? You know, we are to stand against injustice. We're to stand against things that are evil. But, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but the battle is against the powers and the ruling powers of darkness. And see, there's one thing I do know, that I have all authority and all power. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above the powers and the principalities that's trying to rule and take over my nation. Amen. It's not the person, but it's the powers of in the heavenly that is coming against the people of God. It's all about the love of God, that our hearts would be full of love, and he's trying to take that love out of our hearts. Man, we were vicious. We were vicious with the last administration. And then we're complaining about the new administration being vicious toward us. You reap what you sow. If we sow love, guess what we were receiving? You might not like what I'm saying, but it's true. Amen. See, when you start praying, God, let me love with the same intensity that you have loved me, things will change. Your attitude will change. Oh, my goodness. I thought I loved till I start praying that prayer. Man, I've been in a season of repentance. Amen? It is our mission statement. Thou shalt love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Amen? The first commandment does not start with us, but it starts with God's love for his people. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Amen? He loves us with all of his heart. He loves us with all of his soul. He loves us like he loves the Trinity. He loves us like he loves his Son. He loves us like he loves the Holy Spirit. There is no variation from God. God's love has no beginning. God's love has no ending. God's love is eternal. And our problem is that we're not in our place of eternity that God has called us to when we're saved. We're stuck in a time warp that's ruling and reigning over us, and not the place that God has called us to be. It's to be in the heavenly places, in the kingdom of God, bringing life into this world. Hallelujah. Amen. He loves us with all of his heart, with the same intensity that he loves and fellowship with the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, John 15:9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, the same intensity the Father has loved Jesus, he says, I love you. Now, abide in my love. You know, abiding in God's love. God's eternal purpose for creation included providing loving families for himself. How many know that your family is for him? My family, Les did such a great job this morning. Amen. He talked about the triangle, the husband here, the wife's here, and God's at the top. And as you get closer, you grow closer to each other. Our families has to be that way. We all, as the head of my family, some of you don't have a husband, but you do have a someone that's the head of your family. Maybe it might be you. But it's your responsibility to help your family get up that leg of the triangle. Amen? And we got to teach our families to love. I am so proud of my sons. They say, you're not supposed to be proud. No, I'm proud my sons. Amen? They have such big hearts. One son, he came and said, hey, there's a woman at the gas station. She was looking around. He went over and said, what's wrong? She said, I can't find my credit card. I can't find it. And he says, well, let me fill up your tank for you. Just filled it up. My other son, he played college football. And one of the guys on the football team was in a bad place financially. He took his $500, all he had, and gave it to him. And he says, you can pay me back if you want to. If you don't, that's okay. You know, the love, amen, you see it. You raise your children to love. You raise your children and let them know that money and being successful in business is not the bottom line. It is the bottom, but not the bottom line. The bottom line is to love your Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and all of your soul, and all of your strength. You got to teach your children to love. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants a family to himself. Amen? You know, he's not going to give his son to a bride that's unequally yoked. Now, how many of you know the story of the 10 virgins? Five wise and five foolish. And the five wise would trim their lamps and keep them going. The five foolish would not do anything. They let it go. Now, I always thought that was that they were not doing the work of the kingdom and doing the will of God. But it was the love. They didn't take care of that love that was put in them. The five foolish did not trim their lamps properly. They did not take care of a love that God was giving them to love his son. Amen. How many of you thought it was just the works? See, everything in the kingdom of God is about our hearts. Forget about your handwork. Forget about those things. Get your hearts right with God. Like I said last night, that giving is not about your money. It's about your heart condition. God wants you. What about this little widow? All she had
with a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And the prophet came to her and said, what do you got? She said, I just got a little bit of this. I'm going to fix a little bread, and me and my son are going to eat and die. He said, you feed it to me. You know, there was something in this little widow's heart that released a love to a prophet. Amen. And guess what happened? It wasn't about the meal. It was about God wanting to increase her. See, when God moves on us, it is about increasing God's love in us. Amen. How many like accolades? Awards and people saying, I did a good job. Come on now, we've got to be honest. We all do, amen? But see, God is, it's not after that. He's after your heart. Amen? How many like the 9 gifts of the Spirit? How many like to flow in the Spirit? How many like to be the great next Oral Roberts or the Benny Hinn in healing people? Amen. Come on now. I have. Amen. Man, let me have this power. Amen. I want the power. People will know. My name would be up in lights. But Jesus never operated by wanting to be great. He operated to please the Father. He operated because he loved us with the same intensity that the Father loved him. He always was moved by compassion when he healed. He was always moving. But see, the one thing that we forget, we always look at the 9 gifts of the Spirit. How many of you know that the 9 fruits of the Spirit are more important? It's character. And now, I was taught that I had to cultivate this fruit and bring this fruit up. But see, I come up with God gave me a revelation that the fruits of the Spirit cannot be cultivated. Because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit, it's the character of the nature of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this scripture. Romans 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Love point of hope, because it doesn't disappoint. Amen. I love it. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And now, wait a minute. The love of God has already been poured out where? In our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, it takes God to love God. It takes God to love for us to love like he loved. So he gave us, he said, it's imperative that I go to the Father to send you the Holy Ghost, not just for the 9 manifestations of the gift. The main thing he gave you was the Holy Spirit that you can love like the Father loves. Amen? It's in us. We have the ability to love with that same intensity because of the Holy Ghost. What is the number one fruit of the Spirit? Love. What is the number one commandment and great commandment? And see, if you operate in that character of love, you'll keep all the other fruits. They just fall in place. Amen? If you walk in that, when people are sick and they need touch, they need to heal, and your heart is full of compassion, when your heart is moving and you're loving people like God loved you, and with that same intensity, you'll do just like God the Father did. Jesus would lay hands on people and they'd be healed. Peter loved that way. He would even walk by. And because of the love, the shadow was the love of God. The love of God would touch people and they would raise up. Am I making any sense? Woo! Amen. I have been in a place of total repentance. since I started. This is not the same message I preached and taught in Augusta. I started out with it, but then God began to show me some things. God's first exhorted Israel through Moses to love him with all their heart. Amen. In Deuteronomy 6. And later Moses prophesies Israel would love God with all their heart in the end times. That's Deuteronomy 31. First, he makes a statement, said to love the Lord your God. And then he says, he prophesies, I will cause you to love. I will put it in your heart. He knew that Israel could not do it. He knows that we cannot love with that same intensity. So he makes a promise in Deuteronomy 30. The Lord will circumcise your heart to love the Lord. And that's when the Holy Spirit, he sends us the Holy Spirit that we can love in that same manner. How many know that you can love now in that same manner? Amen. How many know that you won't love all the time in that same manner? Amen. Because we still have a fight. It's my battle is not the devil. My battle is the within me, the sin that's within me, the evil that's within me. It's the thing that I must battle. Amen. I have pointed the fingers too much, not at people, at the devil. But it's me who stands in the need of prayer. I challenge you to start this week and pray, God calls me to love with the same intensity that you have loved me. And this is where the church is going to go. How many of you know the revival is going to come? It's not going to come like we think it. It's going to come when the church begins to love. Amen? People are not going to come to Christ through our pointing the fingers. People are not going to come to Christ because we are the power. You know, we got it, you know. Cast out this demon. No, you're going to cast out demons because you have a love for somebody. You don't want them to go to hell. Amen? Amen? How many ever had somebody come up to you before you were saved and say, you're going to hell? See, when I first moved to Georgia and I was in my office and the guy would come to my office, and I'd be reading my Bible, and so he began to ask me questions. So I just began to share the word with him and talking with him, and man, he was just eating this thing up. And one day I was walking across the plant with him, and one of the deacons in the church that I was in hollered at him, Chuck, you're going to hell if you don't change your ways. That was his last trip to my office. But one day, I was down in the break room, and they all was talking about rock and roll and all this stuff and the back masting and the devil this and devil that. And I knew they were going to ask me questions. I don't want to bother with this. So I grabbed my coffee, and I hit it on down to the mail room. He's following me. Down there, I get down to the mail room, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes on me. And I said, no, Lord, I'm not going to do this. I take another step, and I turn and I start prophesying to him. Told him how much God loved him. And I said, God showed me that when you was a little boy, God spoke to you and put a call in your life. And God has not ever taken it back. And I want you to know that God wants you to know that he loves you and that he's going to bring you home. He just started boo-hooing. See, we got to allow God, the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit not to have all the powers of the gifts, but to have the love of God that the powers of the gifts will work through it. Because I love Chuck. He's going on to be with the Lord. I can say it now. He's going to be on. He got saved. Amen. See, I had another boss that everybody disliked. Oh, they could not stand him. And I had to make a trip from Georgia all the way to Myrtle Beach with him to look at a piece of equipment. He said, "We got to see if we want to buy this equipment. We probably can use it." And so I told the Lord, "I don't want to go." I said, I don't want to, I just, you know, Lord, send somebody else. And I'm in fervent prayer now. And I'm saying, God, I don't want to do this. And God said, "Yes, you're going." I said, "You know, I don't want to talk about nothing but the Lord. And he has nothing to do with the Lord. God said, "You're going." So we get in the car and I'm driving. We start out down the road. First thing he does, he asks me something about the Lord. So I am talking with him, not in judgment, but in the love of God, all the way to Myrtle Beach. How long is that, Michelle? 6 hours. Get to Myrtle Beach. We walk in the plant. They take us around. I looked at the machine. I looked at him. I said, "Uh-uh." He said, "Uh-uh." He said, "You want to stay tonight at Myrtle Beach?" I said, "No, I want to go home." So we get in the car. All the way back, guess what we're doing? We're talking about the Lord. So then at the plant, they do this every 4 years. They do a survey of all the management. All of us guys, we get judged by our people that work for us. And he got the worst rating than anybody ever in the history of the plant. And I'm saying, whoa. And so he had to call all his employees in and try to work things out. They were going in there, spending an hour, 2 hours with him, telling him what kind of horse the patootie was. And finally, he calls me, and I walk in the office. I said, "What's up?" He said, "You tell me." I said, "I will." I said, "God's the same yesterday and today and forever. All authority belongs unto God. And because of that, you're in a place of authority, so I submit myself to your authority. As long as you don't violate any godly principles in my life." I said, "I haven't got anything else to say. I will help you do a good job." Turned around, walked out. They said, "What'd you say?" I said, I just told him how my heart was. 3 months later, I'm sitting in my car reading my Bible. He's walked by my car. On my window. I wrote that. I said, "What?" He said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "I'm saved." But you know, it's the love of God. I wasn't operating in the understanding and the wisdom that I have today. Amen. But I operated in the best I knew how. And I know, because I was an atheist. I didn't believe in a God. I know how my life was. Amen. We were talking about singing some of the old songs. I used to sing them old heathen songs back in the day, before Christ. But I knew, and when I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. They told me I knew everything because I had the Holy Ghost. But I knew better because I didn't know nothing. I was not raised in the church. I didn't even know who Jesus was. But somebody sent somebody my way, a lovely woman, looking good too. Woo, caught my eye.
Psh.
Our first intense fellowship was about Jesus. She lived 60 miles away. I get off work, man, I just 60 miles go over to see her. And then drive home and get up, go to work in the morning. So we get this intense fellowship. I get mad. She said, "What do you believe in?" I said, "I believe in my people, baby, right on." See, I was one of those guys that carried my gun and went my 40 acres of mule. But I said, "Baby, I believe in my people." She said, "Well, if you don't know God, we can't have a relationship." Okay, that's what you want. I drove all the way back to Richmond, Indiana. Got there, turned around, drove all the way back. Stopped at a payphone. Some of y'all don't know what a payphone is, some of you youngsters. Called her on the phone and said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I want to know who he is." My life changed. Amen. Because she stood her ground. Young children, remember that. Don't you allow a man to change your heart about God. You love God with all your heart. Amen? With all your strength and all your soul. Young ladies, you hear me? Don't let a guy change your life. Amen? It's the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life. And it's the best thing you ever do for that young man. But what she did then for me was the best thing that ever happened to me. Jesus came into my life. Glory to God. Amen. I guess I've been going an hour, haven't I? It's 2:30. But I'm not finished yet, but we'll just keep going. The Spirit. First priority and emphasis in the church is for the people of God to grow in their love for God. However, our natural tendency is to focus first on gaining more and blessing and on our circumstances. More money, more honor, more comfort, more influence, etc. How many know in today's church, especially in the mega world of churches, it's all about your finances. It's about having your millionaire status. It's about your billionaire status. See, I'm all God will supply all my need status. That's where I'm at. Amen. I don't need that, amen. I am filthy rich, I am. I'm filthy rich with Jesus. I'm filthy rich with his love. He will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. It's not what I see in the natural. It's what my seeing hears in the spirit by the hearing of the word of God, amen. And God will meet all my need. Not my needs, he'll meet my need. How many have a need, amen? Amen. Don't worry about your needs. Just get that need. Amen. When that need's met, you'll get your next one. Amen. See, many times we want so many things at one time, and he ain't doing this, but this is what I would do if I was God. Oh God, what am I? They want so much. Les said something today. I wrote it down on my notes, and it was really good. He said, "How would you pray if you could see what God sees?" But since most of the time we don't see what God sees, let's let our love for God direct our prayers. Loving my neighbor, amen? That the second commandment is like the first. It's to love your neighbor with the same intensity that God has loved you. And all the others fall into place. Amen? See, thou shalt not commit adultery. I committed adultery and never committed adultery, according to the way most of us think. I looked upon a woman and lusted after her. I committed adultery. I committed murder. I hated my brother. Jesus says, if you hate your brother, you already committed murder. So you know, the law of God is perfect. And see, why he was telling them that, because it was all about their works and not about their hearts. He told the Pharisees, because the Pharisees' work, their life was all about their works and not about their heart. God wants what? Our hearts. Amen? Praise God. We're staying with Laura and Les Kronk, and she has all these hearts on her wall. And I'm sitting there looking. I said, yes, Lord, I understand now. I'm in right place. God is concerned about our hearts. If you're going through something, ask God about your heart. Is my heart right? Am I releasing love, or am I releasing venom? Man, I tell you what, I was a viper. How many men a viper? And let someone have it. Amen? We got to stop that. How many remember when Pat Robinson was running for president? Do you remember the convention? The Christians got in a fist fight. The Christians. It was the awfulest thing, you know. I was saying, where's my pillow? Where's my pillow? Where's my pillow? I wanted to hide. It was awful. It was awful. We were supposed to love one another. But we got in a big fight right there on social media. Things began to change after. I don't know if there was any true repentance. See, I'm full of love, but I'm a preacher that's going to challenge you. I'm on a preacher that's going to make you think about the things that we do or say. God, that's what God called me. He's told me my 40 years in the wilderness is over. I'm going into my promised land, and God is going to begin to move in areas that I never expected. I might not have preached this message a year ago, but today I am, because we need to examine our hearts, because this last move of God is going to be a move of the heart. It's going to be a move that's caused, and the revival is going to break forth, not about our supernatural moves, but by the love of God that will cause the supernatural to become to pass. Amen. I'm not looking to be the great healer anymore. I'm not looking to be the great T.D. Jakes anymore. I'm not looking to be anything but some man that will love you. Love you with all my heart. I want to love you with all my strength. I want to give you everything that I have. I want you to know that God loves you, and he loves me. That's the heart of Michael. They call me Pops at church. That's the heart of Pops. Amen. Pops loves you. Amen. Pops wants you to have the best in life. I don't want you in any type of bondage. These meetings are about breaking bondages. And I hope I broke some bondages in your heart today. I hope I broke some things that you'll know and understand that God so loves us that he wants us to love in that same manner. We got to stop being so vicious. I gave them a piece of my mind. If I said that, they wouldn't get much. I was going to say about that somebody else. I said, that wouldn't be love. Go on now. How many, you know, we always want to be tell somebody off and then go tell our friends how we told them off. Those days are coming in. And God's going to have a bride without spot, a wrinkle, or any such blemish. Did God say that? Did he say it? If he said it, what else? It will be, will it? Amen? And sometimes we look at ourselves and say, but God says, I will have a bride without spot or wrinkle, amen, or any such blemish. How many are going to be the bride? Amen. I'm the bride. Amen. I can walk what God says. I can do what God says because of his Holy Spirit, not because of what I can do. It's through the love of God. I'm going to open up for questions.